Hi, I'm Onisha Slater, and this is Teacher Chronicles, a show for educators to have a safe place to discuss their thoughts, their dreams, and concerns on education. I've been reflecting on my first week back to work, and like many of you, my emotions are in disarray. When entering my classroom, I'm quickly reminded just how different this year will be. I read a note from a student given to me before spring break that said, "I hope I'm in your classroom next year, Ms. Slater." I want to be with my kids and coworkers, and yet I have a compromised immune system and anxiety. I struggle on a daily basis with the challenges of living during a pandemic and wanting things to go back to normal. But then I look at this pandemic as an opportunity to not go back, but to make things better than they were before. Every day when we have our morning meeting circle, I'm reminded that I'm the only Black person in the building. And on my mind is COVID-19 and Jacob Blake, students, teaching, all of my family, and my health. If I'm having all of these thoughts and concerns, I know students will be too. That's why social emotional learning is so important. I would say even more during this time. As an educator, we have a responsibility to not only teach students academically, but become advocates and caretakers. Students are paying attention to everything that we say and do, and more importantly, what we don't say. We may be uncomfortable talking about race, but we can no longer be silent. Even as a Black teacher, I have to set a tone in my classroom to talk about race, to talk about what the word racism means, to talk about police brutality, and honestly answer my students' questions. I make it a point to teach about segregation, to talk about what it means to be Black, to show students the many achievements of Black and brown people. We discuss all minorities who endure inequalities and those who have helped make a difference, like Sylvia Mendez. I watched a video from Doc Rivers, and he said, "We're the ones who have to talk to our sons about being pulled over by a police officer. What white father has to do that? We need people to truly understand the gravity of what it means to be Black in America. It's not enough to say that you're not racist. What are you doing to actively fight against it?" Imagine living in a world where you're celebrated for your athleticism, music, and fashion, and then watching your race be brutally murdered in the streets, and it's business as usual. It hurts your students and coworkers when you remain silent. When studying deep equity, I've learned it's important to first understand your biases. Find out what you're bringing into the classroom and consciously work to change. Implicit.harvard.edu is a website where you can do an assessment to see what your biases are. Then, actively seek to make a change. When George Floyd was brutally murdered, so many people asked, "What can I do?" I thought, what do you normally do when there's an injustice? Do that. What would you do if you saw a dog being brutally beaten? What would you do if you knew a student or family member was being abused? Do that. To put it simply, be an accomplice, not just an advocate. A great outlet for anyone when dealing with trauma is poetry. Today, I'll be having a conversation with Jamon Hill about bringing poetry into the classroom to reach all students. Jamon Hill is an award-winning poet, playwright, and professor. In 2018, Jamon claimed the title of the third best slam poet in the world. And in 2019, he wrote, produced, and starred in an award-winning one-man show, Black Enough, which played off-Broadway. His poetry videos garnered millions of views. I cannot wait to speak with him, but first, a quick message. Hi, Jamon. I'm so excited to have you today on the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. I'm living.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm a poet by day, poet by night. I'm a poet all the time. But I teach at a Lawson State Community College as an adjunct instructor, as well as University of Alabama as an adjunct instructor. And I'm the co-executive director of a brand new arts education organization called the Flourish Alabama, where we put on programming in schools that help young artists bloom, and additionally create shows that showcase young artists of color as well. The goal of that nonprofit is to help young artists bloom and build up communities of color, specifically Black communities.
Wow. What do you work with?
So we primarily work with middle school and high school levels. So we've done some work. We're planning some projects with some middle schoolers now. I was actually just got off the phone with some parents putting together essentially a TV show that we're going to be working on. And we're doing some poetry slams on the high school level that we're really excited about.
Well, great. I'm excited for you. And I wanted to talk to you today about just what teachers can do in their classrooms to touch on racism and not be afraid to talk about it with your kids, and also to have their students express themselves. So how can teachers use poetry to address racism?
I feel like one of the biggest ways that they can use poetry to address racism is around research, researching history, and asking the students about what they experienced in their daily lives. So, for example, you know, with everything that has been happening in the news recently, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, just recently, we had a few more people added to the list in Wisconsin. There's a lot going on right now in the world that our students, no matter their age group, they're hearing about this, mm-hmm. especially because of social media. They're aware of everything that's going on. And as teachers, it's our job to approach topics such as history and current events. So when you turn on the news and you see this, that's an easy opportunity to get your students to talk about what they're experiencing. What we do at The Flourish is we'll literally go into a classroom setting and we'll have an open discussion about these sort of things, like, hey, the most recent project we did was with the Birmingham Public Library. And we were like, hey, y'all remember back in 1964, there was this thing called the Children's March. And we taught them about the Children's March. They watched a little documentary. And we were like, if you could say anything to those students from back then, what would you say to them to encourage them? And then we asked them, like, how do y'all feel as students now, you know, in the midst of everything that's happening with George Floyd and the movements that have been happening and the marches that have been taking place in Birmingham? And we kind of get them to talk about those sort of things. And then we're like, let's write about that experience. Let's write about that. Let's use poetry as a space to express ourselves. And really, that's where poetry comes in, because it allows them, normally when they think of a paper, they think of rules, lines they have to fill, you know, it has to sound a certain way. But when we're like, oh no, this is poetry, you can kind of write it however you want. Students who really like rap, they'll do rhyme. Students who really like building stories and telling stories, they'll focus on those elements and telling their story. And it really gives students the opportunity to kind of learn about the past, place themselves in the context of that, and talk about what they want for the future, all through poetry.
I love it. And I love how you can bridge what happened back then to now. It's like very relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the benefits to using poetry in the classroom?
I think one of the benefits is, especially, it's funny because you asked me, we literally were doing grant writing today. I was writing grants with a high school teacher today, and we were talking about bringing poetry into the classroom and why it's beneficial. And some of the buzzwords, it's interdisciplinary. So poetry, especially when you're looking at it in terms of combining like your English language arts, because you're utilizing those ELA writing skills, you're also incorporating history, social studies. You're looking at socio-emotional learning, because students are required to be introspective. as well as aware of their self-awareness and social awareness, how they relate to the rest of the world. And then there's performance, theater arts, and media arts elements, where we're getting them to create a work of art and perform that work of art. So it's interdisciplinary, and it includes all of those different ideas. But at the same time, it's interactive in a way that students will be more involved in than if they're looking at the classroom as a space where it's this rigid work. And a lot of times students will check out because they're like, this is boring. But you go in there, you perform a spoken word piece, or you show them a spoken word piece, and they're instantly more engaged. They're like, wow, this is really dope. This is really cool. And it's like, you can do that too, and we're going to show you how. So it's very interdisciplinary, and it's project-based learning. They're learning by creating a really dope project that is their poetry.
So in that aspect, then we're reaching all learners, right?
Oh, definitely, definitely. We're currently doing a program in Birmingham, Alabama, called Word Up. And even we're working in, I believe, we're in talks with about 4 schools. And within each school, we're working with a different teacher in a different field. The same, it's not the exact same program, but it's a poetry slam. So we're going in and teaching poetry. In one school, we're working with dance students. In another school, we're working with ELA students with an English teacher. Mm-hmm. In another school, we're working with a speech and debate team. In another school, we're thinking about working with a visual arts teacher. So even there, where you see kind of the breakdown of where we're going into each school, it's able to address all different types of learners. The programs that we're doing in middle schools, I've been working with a social studies teacher. And we were relating the civil rights movement, back to today. And that's how we would watch news stories, news segments, and we would write poetry about it. And the students were so excited. They were like, they got to pretend like they were a building, historical building. So they were doing research on the buildings. It's so cool to see like a group of 6th graders excited about green books that Black people used in the 30s, 40s.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like diving in and figuring out, ooh, I'm going to write a rhyme to tell people how to safely travel through California. So they're like, if you're looking for something to eat, go to this restaurant on 33rd Street. And they're, like, they're creating this whole poem, and they're like, Mr. Hill, can we have them go here to the hotel? Like, what rhymes with hotel? And you know, they're so excited to be engaged, yeah. And they're learning, you know, about all these historical elements in a way that really engages them and allows them to use their creativity. So it addresses all kinds of learners.
So as a teacher myself, like, this sounds so interesting and fun, but it can also be very intimidating if we've never had a poetry class, or, you know, the last time I took poetry was like back in high school, which was like 2006. So mm-hmm. What are some tools that teachers can use if they want to incorporate this into their classroom?
So one of the things, of course, I'll always first and foremost plug my nonprofit organization, the Flourish Alabama, of course, because we love going into schools and doing this kind of work. And we're now doing it virtually as well, where we bring in teaching artists and bringing in teaching artists within your community, especially finding teaching artists within your community or organizations that do poetry and might be able to provide teaching artists for that space, I feel like it is huge. It does sometimes require work depending on the amount of funding that a school may have. But it's a great way when you think of combining the community with the school, because as a teacher yourself, you know, one of the biggest challenges for students is exposure, right? Exposing them to other possibilities versus the narratives that they're, you know, they might be fed via social media and via the places that the school system kind of pushes them to in terms of work. But you can be a creative and be a professional. And by bringing in a creative professional, not only do you show them that they can do that, but you also help that professional continue to do that work. They need to interact and learn from somebody in the field, where when they see you as a teacher and they see you every day, they might be like, Miss Monisha ain't gonna, Miss Anisha, you a poet? I don't believe you. And you know, it's a lot to work with. But if you can't bring in a teaching artist, the thing that I always recommend is checking YouTube, looking for spoken word poets, finding stuff that would be appropriate for your classroom setting, showing the students that poetry. And then y'all can write responses or kind of write back, you know, okay, so you see how this poet talked about this subject? How can we, you know, write something similar where we talk about this subject or talk about a different subject? And by doing it in that way, you provide them examples, and they're able to grow themselves as writers from that, because students are brilliant. They're open-minded. A lot of times, especially the younger and younger they are, and they see something, they can learn a lot from simply just seeing it. I know that for me, working in the classroom, it seemed intimidating at first, until I kind of broke it down into, okay, what are some basic poetry elements that I can teach my students? And I really hearken back to ELA. I was like, I can teach them metaphors, imagery, personification. And from these, you know, four or five tools, you know, I introduce a tool, we watch a poem that uses that tool, and then we relate it back to our social studies subject for the day. Or if you're in ELA, you know, you're relating it back to, if you guys are reading a text that utilizes those things already, or if you're in, you know, a different subject, theater, you're relating it to a theatrical performance. But you just kind of take those basic tools of poetry and you relate it back to what you're already doing in the lesson. But teaching artists are a huge benefit for that, because they'll do a lot of that work as well when they come in and work with the teacher.
Yeah. And do you notice that usually the students open up, like every student, or do you still find that, like, you have, when you go into the schools, like a student who just still won't, like, take to it? Or usually do they all take to it?
So the majority of students that I've worked with, and I'm a special case because in my instance, I've been working in this sort of capacity for about 2.5 years. So it's a little different. But for the majority of students will take to it. And those who don't, I feel like it's really important. And it's one of the things that you kind of aim for as a teacher, is to try and find ways that you can encourage and help students. So for example, at the beginning of every class that we do, we have the students do affirmations.
I love that.
I'm worthy, I'm necessary. And then we flip it, we have them partner up and they say those things to another student, like, you are worthy, you are necessary.
I still remember, I did this with my class last year, and the first time they all laughed. And you have to just keep doing it, and then they start to get used to it. And then everybody's like, oh, okay, we're doing that again today. Like, it becomes normal. But I love that you said that, and I started doing that too with my students. I love it.
Yeah, it's powerful, and it gives students a chance to ground themselves. You know, you do a couple breathing exercises. And yeah, of course, they might think it's silly. But over time, they're like, oh, yeah, this moment is really powerful.
Yeah.
And they recognize that.
Well, can you tell us about ways that our listeners can reach you if they have more questions or if they want you to come in to do something in their school?
Yes, of course. So I'm found, there's two major places that you can find me. The first is jamanhill.com. I'm Jaman Hill, J-A-H-M-A-N-H-I-L-L. If you're wanting me personally, JermonHill.com or JermonHill@gmail.com. As an artist, poet, playwright, professor, performer, that sort of thing. And then my nonprofit organization, The Flourish Alabama. We're at theflourishalabama@gmail.com. But also you can check out our website, theflourishal.com. And then we're everywhere on all the social medias. If you just Google The Flourish Alabama, you'll find our Facebook, our Instagram, all that good stuff, The Flourish Alabama. But yeah, we are our organization and everything. Yeah, we would love to work with, we're working with Birmingham City Schools. We're hoping that we can work with as many communities as possible, communities of color, helping students bloom and helping students grow as artists in ways that benefit them in the classroom.
Well, I just love that. Thank you so much for doing the Teacher Chronicles podcast. You make me so proud to be your big sister.
Woo-hoo!
I appreciate you so much. You're great. You're awesome.
All right. Thank you, Monisha.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to the Teacher Chronicles podcast. I hope you learned something new today. Follow me on Twitter at Slater Monisha, SlaterMonisha, and on Instagram, Teacher_Chronicles101. And always be safe, wash your hands, and wear your mask. Thanks for listening.